Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. Tonight is May the 22nd of 2015. I'll get myself oriented here again, and my name is Julia Cannon. I think that's who I am today. I'll work on this. And Shonda just walked in, so you may be joining me. If I get stumped, she'll be here to help me. She just walked in from a ball game, so... and we have another beautiful day here in the Ozarks. We've been dancing with the threat of rain, and they say we're going to get it all weekend, but I've been putting a bubble over us, so we'll see what we get. And we've got the Memorial Weekend upon us, so happy Memorial Weekend, everybody. As you all know, we've got the Transformation Conference coming up, and so we're bringing on speakers that we have that are coming up on that. And so we've got a special guest with us that's one of our speakers. I want to give out our toll-free call-in number. So if anybody wants to call in with questions for our speaker, for our guest tonight, feel free to do that. And our number is 1-888-627-6008. 1-888 627-6008. And tonight's guest is Sherry Cortland. And we've had her on before because she's, oh my goodness, Sherry, gosh, you know, I wish I could put out books like you do. you just click them out. I mean, you're doing them almost like mom was doing them.
You know what the secret is there? I don't write them. I just channel them. It's not me.
Right. That is the secret. I know. That's the wonderful secret. And it was just like, gosh, I wish I could do that. It was just like, man.
I do too.
But we've got, let's see, I think it's four now, right?
Yes, four. Yeah. It just came out, a month or two ago?
Yeah, pretty close to hot off the press. So yes. We've got Windows of Opportunity, Raising Our Vibrations for the New Age, The Spiritual Toolbox, and then the latest one out is Guide Group Fridays. And that's the one that we'll probably be talking the most about tonight. But what I want to do, and I know you've been on before because we do have several books with you, and you know, we do probably, you know, people know a lot about you, but there's probably a lot of people that don't know about you. So what we always like to do is kind of give some about your background and how you got into all this, because yours is a really fascinating story. And so it is, because, you know, so many people think, you know, everybody in New Age is airy fairy and you know, all this, you know, hidey flighty and all that. You know, I love these New Age words, you know. You know, and you know, we're all up in the clouds and we don't know what we're doing, and blah, 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 you know. And I just love it because you come from this very corporate background, and that just kind of puts all that other stuff out the window. And so I love it. So if you could just, you know, just give us your background and how you got into all of this.
I'd be happy to. Well, first of all, I have always been interested in metaphysics. And I was very blessed because my mother, my grandmother, they had tons and tons of metaphysical related books around all the time. So I started reading those books at a very early age. And I just really insatiable thirst to read anything that was metaphysical or New Age. And I read everything that I could possibly read. And then Ruth Montgomery was really a very big deal for me. And I got to the point where I had read all of her books, and I read all of Shirley MacLaine's books, and I read everybody's books, and there was really just nothing left for me to read. And I was tired of waiting for other people's books. And I thought, I'm going to go on my own spiritual journey, and I'm going to see if I can discover what is the truth of our existence. That's always been the thing that has pushed me along. Why are we here? Why is life so darn hard sometimes? why do crappy things happen to such wonderful people? And these are the answers that I was looking for. And so I started taking a lot of classes, metaphysical type classes, New Age classes. And one night, I did try like Ruth Montgomery to do automatic writing. And I had been sitting at my kitchen table the way that she said she did it. And I was trying that for like 3 months and nothing was really happening. And then one night in this class that I was taking, the teacher said, tonight we're going to do automatic writing. And you know me, Julia, so you know I'm a little on the snarky side sometimes. And I just started to laugh out loud and I said, automatic writing, I'm never going to be able to do that. And as those words were coming out of my mouth, Spirit grabbed a hold of my arm, and all of a sudden I was drawing the most beautiful figure eights and circles that anyone has ever seen in their lives. So that's all happening. Everybody in the class is watching me. I don't know what's going on. And the teacher yells from across the room, Sherry, control it, control it. And I'm like, control it? We haven't had the class yet. I don't know what I'm doing.
So, I'm excited it's even moving.
I was so happy. I was just so happy. And so we all just watched my hand moving around this paper until it stopped on its own. And that was really the beginning for me. And then after a couple of weeks of drawing all of these circles every day, because now when I'm sitting at the table in the morning, instead of nothing, I'm getting the circles. I called my teacher up and I said, listen, you know, these circles are great, but I'm looking for some wisdom here, you know, what can I do? And she said, well, did you ask any questions? And I said, no, I just put my pen to the paper. I'm not asking anything. And she said, well, you got to ask a question. Why don't you try asking who's talking with you and what their relationship is to you, and then just get a conversation going. And I thought, oh, well, that never occurred to me. That's interesting. So that's what I did. And that's when I first started to get channeled information from my guide, Jeremy, who is my main guide for this lifetime. And then as I went along, I was working with Jeremy. And then the second guide to come through was Alexio Porath, and then Selena, and then Charles. And all of these people, all of these spirit guides brought something different to the table, you know, different information for me. And then that's all that I wanted. I just wanted this information, and I just wanted to be able to be on this quest for the truth and ask the questions and seek information. And then I think it was maybe 2007 when Jeremy said, it's time to write a book. And Julia, I did not want to write a book because I was scared. I was scared to come out of the metaphysical closet. I'm a business person. I'm the director of specialty sales for a very, very large corporation. And at the time that this was happening, I was the director of PR for a children's educational theater company in New York. And I was afraid. I didn't want anybody to know that I was into this stuff. I didn't want to lose my job. I didn't want people to think that I was crazy. So believe me, I understand, you know, that fear that everybody has, because I had it too. And at first I said, no, you know, I don't want to write a book. But I learned very quickly that you cannot argue with spirit. It does not work. And so finally, one day I said, fine, go ahead, do it, channel the book, go ahead. So they did. And I put the book together and I stuck it in a drawer for like a year. And they were just all after me, you know, send this out. And I thought, well, knowing how hard it is to get a book published, I thought, well, nobody's going to publish this book anyway. I don't really have anything to worry about. Nobody's ever going to know my secrets here. Well, son of a gun, one Sunday afternoon, I got a call from your mom, Dolores, and I thought it was a joke. I thought it was my girlfriend, Heidi Winkler, pretending to be Dolores and telling me that she wanted to publish the book. And that changed everything. That changed everything, because then the book was coming out and Facebook was getting to be very big at that point in time. And so then it wasn't a secret anymore. And I'll tell you what happened, though. And this was really, really wonderful. All the people that I was so afraid of, that I thought were going to criticize me, and maybe I was going to have a lot of problems at work. Those really were the very people that came up to me and said, I'm so happy to know that you're into this because I have so many questions and I'm interested in these subjects too, like karma, reincarnation, that kind of stuff. And could we sit down and talk? And so it opened up so many avenues of communication. I did not lose my job at all. And I made a lot of new friends and it just opened up so many different worlds for me. And I didn't think I was going to write a second book, but boom, that came through. And then the third book, and then the one that just came out. So it's really been quite a ride because that first book, I think Windows of Opportunity came out in 2010, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe 2009, I'm not sure. I have a copy, I should look. Basically, that's basically my story. Yeah, 2009 it first came out. The second printing was in 2012.
Yeah, and see, and that should help a lot of people right there. Just the fears, because so many people, you know, it's just that facing them, just knowing that. And mine, like I said, you know, just it wasn't the coming out because I lived in this world, but it was the resistance of just because they kept after me, write the book. I'm like, but I don't want to. Like you said, you can't argue.
No, you can't. You cannot argue. And your book is amazing. It's just amazing. I read it. I remember reviewing it for my examiner.com column. And I remember using the information that was in there because, you know, you talk so much about stress and what that can do to us physically and mentally. And I was going through a tough time at work and I just was keeping my mouth shut and not saying what I was feeling. I was doing that for the longest time and it was starting to affect me physically. And then along came your book. I read it and I thought, holy cow, this is what's going on with me. And so I took the advice that you had in there and boom, everything cleared up. So I'm so glad that you listened finally too and wrote that book.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, exactly. We've got, it's time. It's time for all of us to just step into our power and do what we're here to do. It's enough of this standing in the shadows and being afraid and not doing. I mean, we came here for a reason.
Yes.
Why are we all afraid to be ourselves?
Well, we're coming out of that, I think, because, you know, New Age, I know everyone thinks the words New Age are ugly words, and so a lot of us have started to say metaphysical and other things, but we're going mainstream, and we're going very, very quickly. I think we've made more progress in the last 5 years than we made in the last 25 years.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
And I mean, I'm talking, I have vice presidents. I have people who are so high up in business who contact me and want to talk about these subjects. So, you know, everybody is starting to come out of their little hidey holes now. Everybody's starting to come out of the closet. It's slow. You know, it's one little, first you stick your toe out, then you stick your foot out. Then people like you and me, you know, we're all the way out of the closet. We're scared to death. And then we find out, oh, nothing happens. Here we are. We're in the light. There's no problem here.
Right. And that's what we're seeing, a lot of that. More and more, like you said, business people, it's all walks of life are waking up and they're not afraid to step out there and show that they're out there.
Look at Garnet Schulhauser with his two books. He was a lawyer for his whole life. And when did he start writing? After he retired.
Right. Absolutely.
And Guy Niebler.
He's an engineer. Yeah. we're getting up many. Nussbaumer, he's coming on now. He's a very successful business person. What are some of the ones that we have coming on?
I just got his book. I'm going to start reading. I can't wait to start to read his book. I just got it.
Yeah. That's the shift. That's the shift that's happening. And that's wonderful because that's adding, it's showing and it's adding credibility. I was starting to say, but they're kind of correcting me. That's just showing the shift. So, yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about Guide Group Fridays.
Okay.
So what was going on? Why did this have to come out in this way? What was the guidance there?
You know, that is such an interesting question. I had no intention of doing another book. I thought Spiritual Toolbox was it. Spiritual Toolbox had everything in it that I wanted to get out, that, you know, just all the tools that I wanted people to have to move themselves forward spiritually. And then I don't often have visions, but I had a vision of the cover of Guy Group Fridays. You notice that this was the first cover that I did not argue with you about, right? I had this.
Yes.
And I thought, what's this? What's this? I'm not writing any more books. And it was right there, Guy Group Fridays. And right at the same time that I had that little vision, my girlfriend, Jan Cleary, she called me up and she said, hey, listen, I don't know where this is coming from, but I just have to tell you that I'm getting this very, very strongly. I think that you need to take those channelings that you do every Friday on your Facebook page, and I think you need to put them into a book. And I said, well, would that be called Guy Group Fridays? And she started laughing. And then I didn't even argue. I didn't argue with Spirit. I didn't argue with Jan Cleary. I didn't argue with anybody. I just sat down and got to work. And my sister Debbie helped me. She helped me pull together everything and organize it. And I asked my guides, you know, what's the point of this? Why do we want to do this, you know? And they said that what they wanted to do is they wanted to have all of these channelings that are about different subjects categorized so that somebody who needed to learn how to look for a window of opportunity could very, very easily get information on that by turning to that section. And they also wanted to remind everybody who we are on a soul level and how to use that innate power that we all possess to spot those windows of opportunity so that we can grow faster, so that we can live our lives with less drama and less pain. And that really brings it all back around to the reason that I got involved with this stuff in the first place, because that's what I was seeking out, the information about why does crappy stuff happen to great people? Why do we have to go through these things in our lifetime? And really, that's what my guide group wants to get out there, and that's what they've done subsequently in every book. Every book kind of builds on the one before it.
Well, that's great. And like you said, in the drama, oh, gosh. That's kind of my passion, is like, can we get rid of some of this drama?
We can get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not that hard. It's about waking up to who we are, what we are, and becoming aware and paying attention to what's going on now in our lives and what's happened before. Because, you know, the key to moving forward and the key to ending this drama is taking a look at what's happened in our past, looking for those life scripts that we all have, and then figuring out how to make changes in our behavior so the next time a window of opportunity opens for us to learn a particular lesson, we're going to do things a little bit differently so we're not attracting the same crap to ourselves over and over and over again. And that includes situations and the same type of people, because let's face it, I mean, I'm one of them. I was married to and engaged to the same guy, you know, 3 and 4 times over. They all had different names, but they were basically the same person, because I just wasn't learning that lesson until I finally woke up and figured out what it was I was supposed to be doing and changed my own behavior.
Right. Yeah. You weren't seeing the patterns.
No, I wasn't seeing the patterns, but they were right there. But that's what the key is. And, you know, that's what Windows of Opportunity is all about, that first book. The mm-hmm. fact that we create situations and opportunities for ourselves during our incarnation so that we can learn certain lessons that we very, very, very much want to learn. And we start with easy, gentle windows of opportunity to learn these lessons. And as we move forward and we're not learning them, these windows of opportunity become a little bit more drama-filled and difficult, because we really want to learn this lesson. You know, it's almost like Spirit is kind of slapping us in the face to say, hey, wake up, this is right in front of you. And as we start to learn to spot those windows earlier, then we can learn those lessons faster and save ourselves a whole lot of drama and a whole lot of pain, and then move on to the next thing that we're here to learn.
Right. So that's what it's all about. So it's just that. So if we can get people to understand, you know, it's just stepping back and just looking at your life.
It's hard work, you know,
Julia? Yeah, absolutely.
It's not easy. And it's very emotional. It's a very emotional thing. And I can remember when I went through it myself, I mean, there was a lot of crying, I'll tell you that, and shock at how much easier I could have learned the lessons. But, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. And I didn't know about windows of opportunity until, you know, 2007, 2008, when my guides first started to give me this information. But I think it's an important thing to get out there, because we all have the power to make our lives easier. We all have the power to quickly learn the lessons that we're here to learn and then move on. Because you know what? Life shouldn't be all hard. We should be having fun too and enjoying ourselves on this beautiful planet.
Right. And I think, you know, when I first started looking at my life and looking at myself, like you said, it's not easy. It's not easy. But when I first started doing it, it was like this. There's even an anger that happens sometimes, because and it's what I tell people a lot of times in talks. It's the first thing that happens is because people don't want to think that they did that.
Right.
You know, it's like, I'm not responsible. No, I can't have done that. They'd rather believe they're a victim. It's that way.
It's and easy.
Absolutely. It's much easier to be the victim. And then, but it's like, no, if you know, but if you'll just shift it slightly, just ever so slightly, do you realize how empowering it is? Because you are the one in control. You just shift it and you realize you did that. No matter how bad it is, you did it. Now, because you did it, you are the one in control, and now you are the one that can change everything. And you can change everything, you know.
Amen, sister. Amen.
Exactly. And it goes from, I did that, to, I did that. I did that, and then aha, I did that, and then I can do that, you know, and very empowering, you know, and I'm getting all the confirmation chills and that, and then you just keep creating. Now they're a creator. They realize their power.
Right. Now you're a creator of the spirit, and waking up to that power and waking up to who we are and understanding that we are a spark of the creator, a spark of source, mm-hmm. a spark of God, however you want to say it. So therefore, we have that same power. It's just knowing that we can do it, and learning to overcome the fear, and our ego gets in the way, you know, because we work so hard on the personality of who we are for each individual incarnation, and that ego doesn't want to let go very easily as we're waking up to who we truly are and wanting to make changes. And so I think a lot of times making peace with our ego and making nice and saying, listen, I love you and I'm not trying to push you aside, let's move on together, you know, let's grow together, I think that helps a lot. I know that sounds silly to talk to your ego, but I think it's a big part of moving forward for a lot of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, in QHHT, we're learning to do a lot of talking to the ego.
So,
split all these pieces off. So, but no, that's absolutely correct. You have all these parts to yourself. My goodness, we are complex beings.
Yes.
You know, and then we have that, and then we have our higher self. We have, I think there's even more. You know, we have the ego, and then we have the body.
Yeah.
And we talk to our bodies as well. And Absolutely. So, you know.
Absolutely. There's all that residual energy that we bring from other lifetimes, you know, different fears.
Right.
There's just so much there that we need to work on. And, of course, you know, we're born blind to who we are. and we have to struggle to learn. And there was a time, Julia, I'll tell you, where I just didn't get it. And all I wanted to know was everything that was in my future. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen in the next 15 minutes? And who was I before? Who was I in different lifetimes? And I just wanted everything. But now I understand that it's much, much better to not know what's going to happen tomorrow and to challenge ourselves to wake up, because the sooner we wake up, I think that's evolution for us. I think it's personal evolution, you know, to figure out that there's something more, to wake up to it, to become aware, to take action, to move forward. I think those are very, very big deals. And if you know that you're going to have a car accident in 5 days, I think that takes away from living life in the now, and living life in the now is where everything happens.
Right. Well, and you're creating tomorrow anyway. So, yes. You know, who's to say that car accident's going to happen?
No, it doesn't have. It does not have to happen. It does right. not. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
But if you're all worried about it, you're certainly going to bring it to yourself.
That's absolutely. Sure. Yeah. So, yeah, stay in the now. That's what's most important.
Yeah. Everything happens in the now. That's where we have to focus. You know, looking back on our past and finding those life scripts, and then making changes in our behavior the next time a similar, you know, window or part of that pattern appears, that's important. But to live in the past, that's not a good idea. Not a good idea. We got to live in the here and now, make the most of every single day, raise our vibrations the best we can, you know, be good people, be nice to people, watch our words, watch our thoughts, and that's how we raise our vibrations and the vibrations of our planet.
Right. And that's one of the things, yeah, you kept talking about. That's, like you said, be good, be nice. You had some very specific things that you would talk about. You want to go into that some more?
Oh, well, you know, what my guide group says, and what I've read in so many different people's books, is watching what we say is so very, very important, because words are energy. They're energy. And we make choices every time we open our mouth, Julia. We make a choice. Are we going to spew negative energy, or are we going to pump out positive energy? Which way is it going to go? And there are many different ways to say the same thing. You know, you can say, yeah, that dress makes you look fat. Or you could say, you know what? That red dress looks really fabulous on you. Why don't you try that? There are different ways to say things, you know, and you don't have to hurt people's feelings. And so watching what we say is one of the most important things that we can do. And random acts of kindness are something that my guides are always talking about, because that just reeks of positive energy, to do something that somebody is just not expecting, you know, and just to do it for the reason of doing it, just for being nice and to create positive energy. Those things go such a very long way. Those are the places to start. If you want to start raising your vibrations, those are the two things that have the most impact. Although I will say this too, smiling is huge. Smiling is huge. Because you cannot smile at somebody and they're not going to smile back at you. It doesn't matter how mad or upset somebody is, if you smile at them in an authentic way, they are going to smile back at you, and that's going to put positive energy into the situation. So smiling is very big too.
I've done that as a challenge sometimes.
I talk about that in workshops. Smiling is big.
Almost as a dare. I dare you. Not smile at me.
Smile as I'm smiling at you.
Yeah, because some people, it's almost like they're determined to have a bad day.
I know, but that's a choice that they're making. And then Absolutely. We have to make a choice. Are we going to buy into this bad day and let it affect us? And think about all the people that a smile affects in a positive way. I smile at you. You smile back at me. Now you're in a better mood. You're going to smile at somebody else. They're going to smile at the next person. We're just spreading that positive energy through everybody that we see. It's just a big deal, and it's great.
I think they've done... Is it commercials or shows like that where they've shown like something and they show it go backwards and like where it started, and it was something, you know, maybe someone kicked the dog and it was like where it started, you know, that was the act that started the whole thing. I was like, or, you know, if it would only have gone, it started something else, it would have been gone completely different, you know, or whatever. And it was like, that's exactly right. You know?
Yeah. It's
one act starts the whole thing. And so,
yeah. One act and how we respond to that act also.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And that comes back to our power and who we are. And that comes back to responsibility. And, you know, I think that that's the hardest thing for people who are waking up and even at the beginning of the journey, the middle of the journey, the end of the journey, taking responsibility for our lives and the things that happen to us. And how do I say this? Creating what's going to happen to us in the future, knowing that we've got that and acting on it is such a big deal.
That's true.
But nobody really, well, I'm going to say nobody, but it's hard to start to take that responsibility because, you know, we mentioned earlier, you know, it's so easy to be a sheep and follow the leader.
And we call those sheep.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so easy to do that. It's much, much easier to give up your power, mm-hmm. to take control of your own life. That takes a lot of gumption to do
right.
that. It does. And, you know, that's when you start to make real progress is when you realize, hey, I'm responsible for the stuff I'm going through. I'm responsible for what I'm going to go through tomorrow. I'm responsible for making choices every day of my life. Almost every minute of our lives, we're making choices. Am I going to make a choice for the light? Am I going to make a choice for the dark? Which way am I going to go?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's really every single thing. And that's what they've told me. I mean, it was like every time it's do I go right or do I go left? I mean, it's every choice you make. It's that way.
Yep.
It's choices, constantly choices. And it's how you react to everything. It's a choice.
Yep, yep. And the energy that's
always your choice. And it's always your power.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It sounds so simple. And it's simple, but sometimes the simple things are the hardest.
Right. But I think if we break it down like that to each thing, because otherwise it could be where it's overwhelming. Oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do all this. It's very overwhelming. And it's this big task to be enlightened.
Yes.
Well, really it's not. It comes down to how you react and respond to each individual thing. Like you said, yeah, it's each thing that comes up, but it's how you take care of each thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, this my talk this year is a little bit different than my talks in past years. I'm calling it Waking Up is Hard to Do, 5 Steps to Make It Easier. And, you know, we all go through different trials and tribulations as we're waking up and as we move forward on our journey. And so I turn to my guides to get some wisdom from them and some insight into these challenges to help make our incarnation here on Earth a little bit more productive and less stressful. Because sometimes, you know, waking up is the easy part. It's what we do once we're awake that really makes all the difference in our personal evolution.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but like you said, you know, and everything that is here. Oh, here's one. They're tapping me on the shoulder here. The mirrors. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have something to say about mirrors, they're saying.
I have something to say about mirrors.
Yeah, mirrors. The mirrors that we put in our lives. Okay, like we create our worlds. We create our realities. We put our things to test us. I mean, not just, oh, the test. We don't like those words. Okay. We put the things, our experiences in our lives for our experiences so that we can learn and grow. Okay.
Yes, those are the windows of opportunity. But they could be mirrors, and really I understand where they're coming from with the mirror, because we really have to look at ourselves, and what better place to look at ourselves than in a mirror, really? You know, we've got to look at ourselves. Okay, listen, here's me. Here's what I've had a lot of different life scripts, but my biggest life script was always choosing the wrong man. I always chose someone who wanted to control me. And it started out easy. very, very easy. My first husband, he did stuff like, you can't buy Wonder Bread, you have to buy the store brand bread. You know, little stuff like that, but still control issues. The next husband, a little bit differently. Then my next fiance, he threw me up against a wall and spit in my face. He was trying to control how I dressed. He was trying to control my makeup, everything. And when I did not fall into line because I was really coming into my power at that point, he didn't know what to do and he threw me up against the wall. And the business person part of me, Julia, this is how crazy it was. When he threw me up against that wall and spit in my face, I thought to myself, what is the protocol when somebody spits in your face? What do you do? What's the action that you take? Because I never experienced anything like that ever. And then all of a sudden I realized that for all of my relationships, all of the big important relationships in my life, I had been changing myself to be who they wanted me to be. Mm-hmm. Until that one relationship. And he was, you know, like a huge relationship villain for me. And he deserves a Spiritual Academy Award for what he did because, believe me, throwing me up against that wall woke me up. It woke me up. And I started finally to see this pattern in my life. And my guide, it's very, very funny because my guides told me, you should not be with this person. Do not be with this person. Why don't you try working it out with this other person instead? But I didn't listen. I didn't listen because, you know, having people channel stuff to you is one thing. Listening to it is another. And, you know, I've learned that over time. But anyway, I went into this other relationship and it was, I mean, it was a huge eye opener and it was very scary for me, but I learned a lot. And when it was over and done with, my guide said to me, well, it's a good thing that you learned that because you should have seen the next one that was going to come, the next one that you planned for yourself. And I'm like, okay, you know, but you know that it's a hard thing to look at your life that way and say, wow, now I look back, I can see where I subjugated myself in this way and where I always let this person call the shots. And people from the outside would never have believed that I would give over my power the way that I did it. And one of the things that I did wrong was that I did not communicate. I never communicated what I wanted in the relationship. If somebody did something that I didn't like, I just kept it to myself until I had all that I could take and I just exploded and I left the relationship. And that didn't do any good for pushing me forward spiritually or for learning what I wanted to learn, you know, in this lifetime. And the really hysterical thing about that communication was such a big issue for me, is that I have a degree in communication, Julia.
That's hysterical, Sherry.
It's true. We all have to learn. You know, I learned the hard way, which I think was a good thing because I got to put all of these experiences and things that I went through into my book so people could look at it and say, oh, well, you know, she did this and she did that, so what I'm going through is nowhere nearly as bad.
Well, really, I mean, that's where, yeah, because we have our major duh moments. I mean, in that way, you can go, look, hey, I can really duh myself so people can, yeah, they can look at themselves and definitely go, oh, okay, well, if she can do it, then I can too. So.
Yeah. Listen, there was a time that I thought that everybody in the grocery store was mean and nasty because every time I would go grocery shopping, I would have people knocking into me, bumping into my cart, just really nasty. And I thought, why is everybody here so nasty, you know? And I was having lunch with my girlfriend, Terry, one day, and I was telling her about all these nasty people in the grocery store. And she looked at me and she said, Sherry, what, do you read your own books? You know, let's talk about this. Let's talk this through. What are you doing in the grocery store? And I said, well, I'm just in there. I want to get in and out. I want to hurry up. I want to move it along. I got things to do. And she said, well, how are you treating people in the grocery store? Are you smiling at anybody? Are you looking them in the eye? What are you doing? And I said, no, I'm going in with the idea that I need them all to get out of my way because I need to get this done. And she said, well, why don't you make a little change in your behavior? And I thought, well, okay, that makes sense, you know. And so I did. I went into the grocery store and I started saying hello to people. And just, you know, I let people go in front of me in the checkout line. And I wasn't worried about time. I just put that out of my mind. And all of a sudden, everybody in the grocery store was nice. So whose fault was it that everybody was mean in that grocery store?
Mm-hmm.
It's my fault. It was my fault. And I had to change my behavior. And then I drew positive energy to me instead of negative energy. If I'm spewing negative energy, which apparently I was, you know, that's what I'm going to get back.
Exactly. And that's what I have to look at whenever things start going really crazy. And it's always, I have to look, okay, what am I doing? What am I doing? What's going on? You know, if I'm not doing anything, what am I thinking? What's going on in my head? There's got to be something I'm doing because I'm drawing this to me.
Yes.
So I have to look at me and my world because I am creating this.
And that's a big epiphany, isn't it? To know,
absolutely,
hey, I'm creating this. I'm creating what's happening around me. I can change it.
Yes. And that's where you always have to look. You have to look at you and your little hemisphere right there.
And so, if you can't figure it out, ask your friends and family, because what you can't see, they will happily point out for you.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay. So what else? This is wonderful. Actually, I feel like we're twins because the relationship stuff you were just sharing, mm-hmm. I was right there with you. I'll just tell you that, okay? We could have been twins.
Well, probably we are. We probably have had many incarnations together. We were probably sisters or related at some point in time.
You're probably right.
I have to tell you, I'm so, so excited about this year's conference. I see who's all going to be speaking, and I've read really all of their books, and oh my gosh, everybody who comes to this conference is just going to be blown away.
It's going to be fantastic. Really, really good. Yes.
And workshops, so many different workshops. And mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I've done. I took two of my favorite workshops and I put them together. I kind of condensed them into 2 hours. So it's going to be a lot of action, very action packed, but it's all about responsibility and moving ourselves forward. And it's two parts. The first part is raising our vibrations through balanced chakras. And the second part is all about direct communication with spirit. And really those things kind of work into each other. Balanced chakras, that helps us to be able to open up and hear and see what our guides are trying to express to us. But I'm very, very excited about doing this particular workshop. I've never done it this way before, so it'll be something new for me. And I'm just so excited to do it for the first time at the Transformation Conference.
Well, that's going to be a lot of fun.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really fun. I've noticed the more we help people be responsible, I have a lot of fun doing that. That's very empowering. Like I said, people at first are a little bit taken back, you know, but then they respond beautifully to it.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah. And then we move forward together, which is a wonderful thing.
Yes. So I just love it.
So that's what's going on right now. I've got a lot of radio shows, you know, to do because I'm talking about the new book, Guide Group Fridays, and my guides are very, very excited about this book, and I've had a lot of great feedback about it. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm all about expediting spiritual growth and giving folks the tools to be able to do that. So that's what my talk is going to be about. And in my workshop, we'll be doing chakra balancing exercises, and I'll be talking about automatic writing because, as you know, that's the way that I communicate with spirit for the most part. So I'll do a demonstration of that, and then I'll walk everybody through an exercise in that. We'll talk about meditation with intent, and we'll do a couple of different meditations so that everybody in the workshop can kind of get in touch with their guide or higher self, whoever is trying to come through.
Okay, that's in the workshop?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no time to do that during the speech.
No, that's true. Yeah, we don't get much time in the talk, do we? So, and now in the, where was I going? What are some of the, okay, in the chakras. You know, I don't know a whole lot about the chakras. I had to write about them in my book some, but you do a lot. You talk about the chakra balancing and everything. Can you shed more light on the chakras?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, raising vibrations is a very big deal for people right now. And I think that one of the best ways to do that or to get started doing that is through balancing the chakras. And, you know, taking the bull by the horns, taking action to facilitate our personal evolution, that's a big part of spiritual growth. And we've all got the power to raise our vibrational levels. And keeping our chakras balanced not only helps us raise our vibrations, but it also revitalizes our physical body and it helps keep us strong mentally and spiritually. Balanced chakras affect our overall happiness. And by raising our vibrational frequency, it also makes it easier for us to communicate with our guides. So lots and lots of benefits from keeping those chakras balanced. So in this workshop, like I said, I'm kind of condensing a longer workshop, but what we're going to do is we're going to explore the history of chakra balancing and our life force energy. We're going to talk about the effects that unbalanced chakras have on our physical and emotional well-being and health. We're going to look at some very easy and different ways to balance our chakra, very easy ways, including color and sound. The seed sound exercise is always a hoot and a half. We're going to review the seven main chakras, and we're going to wrap it up with a chakra balancing meditation. But you know, chakras are the energy centers that go down the middle of our body. And they're, you know, it's where our energy comes from. And they're all connected to different organs and to different parts of our mental well-being, our brain. So if one is a little bit out of balance, it can affect our health, it can affect our happiness, and it's just so darn easy to balance your chakras, so easy to do it. You know, you can do it just by visualizing colors, you can go through the seed sounds, you can do an actual meditation. I mean, there's just so many ways to do it. So we're going to go over all of those things. But what I want folks who are in that part of the workshop to get is to understand what chakras are. So we'll be covering that, but also how they work and why we want to have them balanced. You know, what those effects are of a balanced chakra for us. So then maybe people will take that action and spend a couple of minutes a day, you know, just going through something real quick to balance their chakras, and then they'll be happier and healthier, and then do also something in a much easier way that I think everybody wants to do, and certainly everybody deserves to be able to do it, and that's to have direct communication with spirit.
Right. I was on a show one time that was, it was probably really close to, I mean, it was as close to mainstream as I've ever seen. It was like,
a couple.
Okay. Yeah, no, it was like, and they were asking me about chakras and I was trying to figure out how to explain that to them. And that's where I was wondering how you might explain that.
I'm going to talk about the anatomy of it. I'm going to talk a little bit about our auras, because our chakra, you know, our chakras are inside the aura. You know, we've got the aura around our body, and then the chakras are inside of our body. And there's certainly more than seven chakras, but I'm just gonna concentrate on those. You know, the crown chakra, the throat chakra, the base chakra. You know, where they're located and what they work with in the body, and what colors are connected and what sounds are connected. And just going to go, and a lot of anatomy too. I'm not going to make it boring. It's going to be very interesting, but we're going to cover a lot of stuff so that folks really understand what they're doing. I don't want people to just do something just to do it, because I think you're more apt to do it on a regular basis if you know why you're doing it.
Right. So, absolutely. It's always good to know why you're doing something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Anyway, that's what we'll be doing. And then we'll go into the second part, which is all about, you know, communicating with spirit. And then we'll all, by the time we get to the second part, we'll all have beautifully balanced chakras to go into it.
Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful. I just opened your book up, Guide Group up, and uh-huh. and it it just opened up to this one page, and I feel like this is something. Actually, this is.
What page are you on?
129. And the picture. Actually, the whole thing.
There you go.
Yeah. And I think that's really important. Because so much, especially with social media.
Oh my God. So easy to bully people on social media. People who are the nicest people in person turn into bullies on social media.
Absolutely. Do you want to read what it says?
I thought you were going to.
Oh, I can. Well, Shonda, I gave it to her. I'll read it. The picture, and the way this book is done, you have pictures that you've gotten from all kinds of places.
Little quotes, different quotes that right. go with whatever guide or guide group is giving us this channeling.
Yeah, and so the picture says, judging a person does not define who they are. It defines who you are. Yes. Judging people is a ridiculous pastime, as no one on your side of the veil can possibly know what is going on with any individual or group. Your act of choosing not to judge people and yourself goes a long way in allowing the light to enter and stay on the planet. And, oh my gosh, my whole body's tingling right now.
Big thing for me, the stopping of judging people. You were talking earlier about what things you can do to raise your vibrations, mm-hmm. and to this really comes back to watching your words and your thoughts and your actions.
Absolutely.
Because those are all judgments, but we don't even know what we're here to do ourselves, right?
Exactly.
We don't really know, so how dare we start to judge other people?
Exactly. We don't know the big picture. We don't know any of it. We don't, from this plane, we cannot tell. We can't tell who's doing what. We do not know. We won't know till we get to the other side.
No, that's right. That's right.
And we do not have the right to make those calls. Absolutely do not. And for people, and that's just it. You know, it's just, you have to throw judgment out the window. Do not judge. And that's wonderful. I just loved that I opened it up to that. And it was like, okay, make a statement. We have to make that statement. So.
Yes. Because that goes back to everything we've been talking about during the show. We have the power to make a choice. We're going to make a choice one way or another. And which way is it going to be, for positive or negative? And, you know, really, if you think about it, when we open up our mouths and we say something to somebody, unless we're watching it, a lot of what we say can be very judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like ingrained in us to do that. You know, gossip is not good for our health.
Exactly. Exactly. And like you said, it happens it's done around us all the time. And a lot of times it happens, we don't even realize we're doing it. We're sucked in so easily. So we have to watch our words. We have to be constantly conscious of it. But that's where it's a matter of monitoring. It just always watch, always be careful, you know, on people, let's just, you know, if you really want to do this,
you got to start with yourself.
Exactly.
You can't change anybody else. You can only change yourself. You can only change how you react. You can only change the choices that you make. And one thing that you can do, you know, another thing to help raise vibrations and keep yourself in a much more positive light, if you're with a group of people and they do start gossiping and talking about other people or just going into very negative type things, then, you know, you need to separate yourself from those folks. You need to get up and you need to walk away. Leave Debbie Downer and her friends behind and go off and find somebody who's positive to hang with. Because you attract in this universe and this planet and this lifetime, you attract to yourself what you're putting out there. And if you put out there negativity, that's what you're going to get back, because that's what the universe thinks you want.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Perfect.
I didn't mean to give a lecture. I'm sorry.
No, that is absolutely perfect.
Sorry, you got me going now.
No, but that's it. That's absolutely it. But that's how we create. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. But that's one of the things, you know. And it's like, oh well, you know that. But it's so subtle. We're constantly judging. But that's, you know, we can't judge and just throw judgment out. We just got to.
I know we're getting close to the end of our time, but turn to page 87.
Okay.
Let's do this. Oh, and also, hi, Shonda. I forgot to say hello to you.
Hello.
I can't wait to see you.
Oh, yes.
That's the 2 months.
Bro hugs are counting down the days.
So here's page 87. And the little quote at the top is, beginning today, treat everyone you meet as if they were going to be dead by midnight. Extend to them all the care, kindness, and understanding you can muster, and do it with no thought of any reward. Your life will never be the same again. And then the channeling that goes along with this is from my guide, Gilbert. And he says, Sherry, it is Gilbert. I will write with you today. Greetings. Let us speak about kindness, which is truly the result of being aware and in control of your thoughts, words, and actions. How so? Let's say you are busy and you are interrupted. How do you react? Do you glare at the person who speaks to you and demand to know what he or she wants? Or do you put down whatever you're working on and smile and ask how you can help? The difference in your reaction is the difference between creating positive and negative energy. It is the difference between being aware of and in control of your words and actions, or allowing circumstances to dictate your response to the moment. Kindness is a form of positive energy, and a moment of kindness will always be remembered. Kindness is an impactful way to effect positive change. Practice kindness. There, I think that really wraps up everything we've been talking about for the last hour.
That's true. That's absolutely true. Yes. We're the ones that are in control, and we can control how we react. So
easy and yet hard.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, they are very simple things. Like you said, they're simple and they're easy, but they take focus and concentration, and it's not easy peasy to do, to remember them all the time. Cause it's easier to react to just go, yeah, busy.
You know, we go from maybe sitting in a circle where people are talking about each other to becoming aware that we're sitting in a circle where people are talking about each other to making a decision not to sit in that circle and then leaving that circle to pursue more positive pursuits. It's baby steps as we move ourselves along. And again, awareness, I think it's a skill. And I think it's something that we practice, you know, and we get better at with time.
Exactly. I think you're exactly right. And don't be hard on yourself. We just keep taking the baby steps and we just work on our, like you said, it's just growth. And like you said, okay, next time it's just being aware. Okay. The next time it happens, I'm going to do this. And then you just become aware of it sooner and sooner and sooner. Okay.
Yes,
and it's a matter of monitoring it. Just like you're monitoring your thoughts. Okay, the next time I have that thought, I'm going to catch it and I'm going to do this. You know, it's
and the
that.
More positive, and the more positive energy you pump out there, the more positive energy is going to come back to you. And the more wonderful opportunities also. And you're going to be aware of those. And then you get to live your life with less drama, less pain. And you still learn the lessons that you wanted to learn in this lifetime.
Absolutely. Okay, we've got 1 minute left, so I'm going to give you a conference information, and then I want you to tell people how they can reach you, okay?
Okay, perfect.
Okay. The Transformation Conference is coming up July 17th to the 19th, and you can you can get your tickets at the transformation-conference.com, or you can get through Ozark Mountain, ozarkmt.com. And we've got the flyers out there now. They're all going out. So anyway, get your tickets now. And Sherry, let's let everybody know how they can reach you.
Yes, through sherrycortland.com. just type that in. You'll get to my website, and from there, you'll see all kinds of articles that I've written, information about the books, workshops, all that kind of stuff. So just real easy, sherrycourtland.com.
Well, this has been fantastic, Sherry. This has been wonderful, and I truly enjoyed it. It's flown by.
Another hour.
This has been wonderful. Thank you so much, Sherry.
Thank you for having me on. I will see you guys in a few weeks.
Yes, absolutely. And it's been my honor to have you.
Take care.
Thank you. You too. Good night, everybody, and make it a wonderful time.